Blog Talk Radio.
You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Lloyd Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Millar, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Kurt Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
All right. We got volume here or what?
Loud.
Wow. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Net Live. Once again, October 4th. Boy, fall is here in a big way. It's raining here in Southern California. Geeter had to come in with his rain slicker on to the home court.
You know, when you just said, ladies and gentlemen, you sounded like Will Ferrell in Old School before the wrestling scene.
That's one of the classic great movies in the world. I know somebody said, yeah, I won't let my kids watch Old School, but their kids had watched The Hangover.
I'm not sure how that
exactly works. Well, welcome into the show. Once again, it is Monday, and we are pleased to have you here on the program. We have a great show planned for you, as usual, today. Lots of good stuff going on in the world of volleyball. The men's national team continuing on world championships in Italy. The women's national team is back from Brazil, where they had a few friendlies in preparation for their world championships. So they've got that going on. And now we also have a little bit of beach stuff to talk about. We have Billy Berger coming on. He's from Corona Wide Open. He's been one of the integral pieces of that tour's success over the last few years. And we're going to talk to him about the branding side of things. He runs a branding company, works a lot with Corona. So we're going to talk to him about the business side of things there. And we're also have John Spraw coming on, UC Irvine head coach John Spraw. He coaches the men there and has done some stuff with the national team at times. You may have heard his name there. He's done a lot of stuff with the national team, but now he's back in college. And they have an international tour, or an international event, pardon me, at UC Irvine.
Yeah, the second annual international event at the Brent Center.
Bringing in their club teams from all over, from China, from Argentina, from Korea, from Brazil, to come in and play against his college team.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Very cool idea. And so, he actually requested us. He wanted to come on the show.
I like it. People
want
to throw
that
in
there.
Now. Yeah. It's good. So we'll talk to him. That should be very interesting. I think it's a great model. I'd love to see lots of other colleges do it. We know we talked to Nebraska about their trip to China, but you can only do that so often. And other college organizations have gone to different countries, but there's some limits on that with the NCAA. And I'd like to hear more about how you can bring the competition to you and how that works.
And UC Irvine's best player is with the national team right now, is he not?
Carson Clark. Yeah, not logging a lot of time.
But he's legit.
He's sitting behind Clay Stanley. He's only the best opposite in the world.
Yeah, we'll have to
or just about.
I was looking at the stats last night, actually, at the FIVB.org, and it was he's up there for everything. Serving, blocking, attacking.
He's one of the few bright spots right now for the Americans, in spite of the fact they're still in the tournament. Really, some struggles. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But first, I want to talk about us. Let's talk about welcome back, Geeter.
Love me some me.
Man, my favorite team.
I did miss a few weeks. It was tough. But I'm happy to be back. It's been a long run. I think I've worked 10 out of the last 12 days, which is really cool, a lot for Fox Sports, doing Angels and Dodgers and high school football. And I started my ESPNU gig. I did Hawaii at New Mexico State last Wednesday. Tomorrow I fly out to Idaho. I have Idaho, Utah State this coming up Wednesday. And it's been a good run. You know, I know it was a little panicky there after beach volleyball ended, but I've kind of just gone on with my life and diving into the next step. It's actually been pretty enjoyable.
Well, Fox has done a bunch of stuff for you now. He's had Angels and Dodgers, and every time I talk to you, you're going somewhere else. You continue on with a little bit of that beach stuff with Barefoot Wines and Cincinnati, and it seems like you've networked yourself right into more jobs.
It's all about grinding, Barney. and as you know, because you and I talk about it all the time, it doesn't matter if you have an agent or whatever, you still got to grind it yourself because, you know, it's nice to have someone out there slinging it for you, but you got to be able to have your contacts and call your people and jump on any gig you can, especially, you know, when you lose a job.
At the end of the day, it's all about you.
It's all about me. And we are expecting My wife is pregnant.
Yes.
Can finally make that announcement officially.
Nice. So Millie will have a playmate.
Millie's going to have a playmate.
Somebody else to watch George with.
Yeah, somebody else to watch George. We were actually watching George right before we came. And we'll find out in 2 weeks whether I'm paying for two weddings.
I like it. You're finding out.
Yeah, we're going
to
find out.
Some people don't find out. I'd love to find out.
We can't even wait for Christmas. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you in our family. I mean,
Christmas is in August for you.
Yeah, I mean, we're dropping the presents on December 22nd. And so we'll find out if I'm paying for two weddings or if there's a little cocktail weenie in there. We'll find out.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah, I always found out with my two boys. Like, all right, just tell me. And I remember the doctor at one point, because we had both of our kids. My wife was pregnant in Italy all the way through like the seven-month stage where you can no longer fly. So she would fly home at about 6.5, 7 months.
Yep.
But up to that point, we were in the Italian healthcare system. And every time you go in, they turn the ultrasound machine on.
Sure.
And they run it over your belly, and they take measurements, and they check on the kid. And I saw something. I'm like, huh, what was that? And the doctor a second later goes, do you want to know?
Do you want a third arm?
I'm like, yeah, tell us. It's this boy. It's masculino.
No way.
Like, I thought I saw a little rocket in there. Yeah. So
for all those people that have kids, this is a quick story. But when we had Millie, we went to find out, and the doctor could not – she said, the baby's in a weird position. I cannot tell you guys right now, but I think he, and she said he. So we looked at her. My wife goes, did you just say he? And she's like, well, I'm not for sure, but I think so. We get in the car. I go, you can't tell a guy that you think he's having a boy, right? So I'm in a glass case of emotion. We go to this 3D ultrasound place the next day in Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
We tell the lady the story. She's laughing. She puts stuff on my wife. You know, we're going over the, doing the ultrasound. Dead silent for like 3 minutes. It felt like 30. I look at her and I go, what's the problem? Like, I'm starting to get pissed. Lady did nothing wrong. She goes, if you didn't tell me that story, I'd be 99.9% sure you're having a girl. Now I'm all freaked out. She goes, but I won't know for sure for another 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, I just thought I was having a he-she. I mean, I was just completely miserable.
Hermaphrodite coming out for you. That's nice.
But hopefully it isn't a boy or else she's in trouble.
Oh, man. Oh, it's tough to get away from child talk. Congratulations. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Is it a baby talk show or is it
really great stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get to flag football first because we need an update on the flag football Eagles.
I have missed the flag football updates. You're doing much better this year, aren't you?
Much better.
Okay.
Much better. In spite of our record, we're currently 2-2, which gives you a little hint on the weekend. We, on Friday night, went down to the Bulldogs, last year's championship team, played them tough, 14-0, gave up two big plays where we had four of our best guys go right down the guy's pants, no flag. Guy ran for a touchdown. Outran our fastest player. So that was a bummer, but they played well the second half. I was excited about that. Then we come in Sunday morning, yesterday morning, early, 9 a.m. Had to be on the field at 8. It's a little tough. Got the boys out there, and we pummeled the Steelers. So we are now the rulers of Pennsylvania in the world of flag football.
Pummeled the
Steelers 26-0. They kind of look like us last season, though.
Yeah.
Those of you that listened to the program last year know that we were really, really bad last year. Steelers' first-year program, we pretty much pounded the heck out of them. I put like four kids in the end zone, put all my kids who don't play too much along the line, and they played a ton. I ran my neighbor's kid. I ran him like four or five times. He went backwards. I think he had four carries, negative 10 yards.
How good did it feel to be on that side of the ball?
I was so relaxed at halftime. I was like, is this what it's like to just have a lead? Because we were up 20 or something at halftime.
You actually enjoyed an orange slice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, much better than what had gone on in previous weeks. So, good weekend for the family. We had six games between soccer and football between my two sons who are both doing both. Don't ever do that, by the way. Don't ever put them both in two sports. This is the last time I'm ever going to do it. Six games over the weekend. Pretty brutal schedule, but not something we're going to do again. I just got a text from Reed Pretty.
What'd he say?
He said we can call him. We got to try and Skype him in. We got to try and call him in. We'll do that in a minute because I want to talk about the national team.
Okay.
The national team's been in action. They started world championships last week. Started with a pool, their preliminary pool. They won that pool despite going 5 with Mexico. They then defeated Venezuela. They defeated Argentina. And then they moved on to their second pool in Ancona against the Czech Republic and Cameroon.
Cameroon, they win 5.
Yeah. You would have figured.
I saw that last night.
That Cameroon and Czech Republic would present a opportunity for the United States to go 2-0 and move on to the next round.
And maybe let some guys play.
Yeah, and get some experience. Right, exactly. Instead, they lose to the Czech Republic in a horrible match.
Horrible match. 3 straight? Did I read that right?
I think it was 3 straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go down to Czech Republic, straight sets, ugly. So now, not only have they lost that match, they're now in danger of not going on to the next round. They come back. They have to play Cameroon. They beat Cameroon in 5. Okay, I don't care how good Cameroon is. They have one hitter I think is leading the World League in points because they have one guy who they set every ball, right? That's what happens. Unbelievable. You can't go five with Cameroon. I'm sorry.
That would have knocked them out.
If they lost, they're out. So they're on the verge of going out. Czech Republic comes back and beats Cameroon. Had Czech Republic played the points, everybody could have been 1-1. It was still possible for the United States to be out. They did not know for about a day and a half if they were actually going to be in the next round. So now they've made it to the next round. Now they have France and Italy in their pool.
Yep.
Not a bad pool. You could have had a weaker pool, but France and Italy, they just defeated France today, 3-0. Good performance, finally. Good performance. Defeating France 16, 14, and 23. 3-0 in sets. Really, the bright spots have been pretty and Stanley.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. I know you watched them, and of course, obviously, we are tied to Reed on this show, and as one of our dear friends, just had a child. He's gone through a lot of travel. Is he back? Injuries. Where do you think he is in terms of percent on how he's playing?
He tells me he's finally feeling good. Mm-hmm. When I talked to him midweek or so, he said he's finally feeling good, and I think it's showing in the stats. He's really picked it up. Beginning part of the tournament, he was still a little sketchy. Coming off of, I think it was an ab injury or rib injury that he sustained right before. Really wasn't able to rotate too well.
Sure.
But now that's kind of healed up. He's playing some great volleyball. Really, really nice. He finished off that Argentina match with a huge service, good transition kill, and a stuff block.
Is Rooney at the 0-2?
Rooney's been playing.
Rooney has been
the main 0-2 guy.
What about Dave Lee? I didn't see his name.
Dave Lee's a little banged up, I think.
Gotcha.
Is what I've heard. But he did play this match against France, had some pretty good stats. He and Max Holt held down the middle. So Russell Holmes, who had been playing.
Russell had been playing, though.
Right. Now Max Holt has been playing a little bit. I think Holt, the real question is, can he block? Offensively, the guy's gnarly. He's big. He's strong. He hits the ball high. He can side out, I think, at will, assuming the set's good. It's really a question of blocking. And you have to be able to do both of those things.
Tyler Hildebrand, I saw him a few weeks back, and he was talking about Max Holt, just how crazy gnarly good that guy can be.
Oh, he's just physical.
Yeah, physically. He said, like, nothing we've seen in the sport. Like, you know, for us, he said he's lights out.
Yeah, when you see him stand there just in the middle, you look at that guy and go, dude, that's a big dude right there. And he gets on the ball. He's pretty quick. He moves around. The question will be, can he learn to block at a level that will put him in the starting lineup routinely?
Is Winder getting time?
I don't think I've seen Winder in. I haven't seen too many of the matches. They've been on the internet. I did watch the Argentina match, enjoyed that. But I've had a hard time getting my schedule to match up with that schedule.
And you're doing the semifinals.
Semifinals and finals coming up this weekend for Universal Sports. Going to be on, I think it's on in the evening. Check Universal Sports schedule, but it's on in the evening on Saturday, evening on Sunday.
How bad do you want it to be the U.S.? I mean, it just makes it a lot more enjoyable for you to be able to do those games at the U.S.
Then I actually think people are watching.
You know, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to watch it.
Russia-Brazil, it's probably not going to get too many viewers from the United States. But, yeah, if we had the United States-Brazil, United States-Russia, that would be pretty good. Like to see him do that. But good start to the next round. I do have my concerns for this team, and I wonder what's happening with that group. I wonder how much long-range planning is really going on. I've talked to a lot of players, not naming anybody.
Sure.
Not just Reed, lots of other people that I talk to around the national team program, and I wonder what's happening with a yearly plan and a four-year plan in a really cohesive manner. That was something that Hugh McCutchen excelled at, and I keep wondering if that's really happening with this new coaching staff.
And I'm glad you said not named Reed, because people just think Reed's our only friend. But we do have other friends on that national team.
Occasionally people talk to us. Occasionally other people talk to us, yeah. Let's get to the women's national team. Then we'll try and give Reed a call. But I wanted to mention them because they came home from a four-match tour in Brazil.
How important are the World Championships for them coming off the win that they just had?
I don't know how important they are of the win.
Yeah, I mean,
World Championships, to be honest, is not that important as a tournament victory. It's good for your team. It's good for team building.
Sure.
But as far as the cycle of making the Olympics, the World Championships doesn't mean much.
Okay.
The World Cup next year, the end-of-the-year event around this time, is what means a lot for getting to the Olympic Games. That's your first opportunity to qualify. If you finish top three at World Cup, you are in the Olympics.
And for them coming off that win at the Grand Prix?
Correct.
That's huge for them because it showed that they are capable. This is, of course, important, as you said, but what I was trying to get to is it's not the end of the world if they don't medal.
No, it's not.
But
it's
it'd
not.
Be nice.
Expectations are higher.
Exactly.
Externally, but also internally now. And I think the internal is the harder part to manage. All of a sudden, there are a bunch of young players in the gym. They've had success at different levels. I mean, anytime you move up, there's some of that question there, right? And you go out and you win a tournament like Grand Prix, you beat a team like Brazil. You take out some of the best teams in the world in that tournament. And I think all of a sudden your expectations rise. And managing that with what will continue to be a learning process for that group of women is what will be critical.
No question. And I think you hit on something a couple moments ago. Young people with success, what does that do to you? Is that going to get you back in the gym and drive you? Or is that going to think, nah, we're already here. We're good enough now.
We're seeing it a little bit with the men's team.
No.
I think the expectations are for those young players that they're going to walk in the gym and they're going to medal because the team medaled in 08. You know, took down the gold medal, best team in the world. But a lot of those young players don't know is that team struggled through 05, 06, six. And 07. They were okay in 07. By 08, only in the last 6 to 8 weeks did they really
catch fire.
Yeah, they really became what they were at that Olympic Games. That was a pretty short window.
But that team had put in the time. Yes, they struggled.
Yes.
They were together. I mean, you were a part of that team. I mean, a lot of those guys were around 04, 03,
a lot of those guys were
02,
around 2000.
So, you know, you can't just expect to come into that gym and think you're a part of a gold medal team. Yes, you're a part of the national team, but that's now a couple years past.
But you mentioned the money, and that's one problem right now is these young players are coming out of college. Some of them prove nothing, making a couple hundred grand.
Sure.
Those same players 10 years ago would come out of college and sign a contract for $35,000.
Yeah, true.
Now it's $235,000, and that does affect how you think about yourself. If you're driving an old jalopy, some beat-up Chevy Chevette from 1987, or if you're driving a BMW 650, there's a little bit different expectations for you.
Just like it is in the NBA.
Sure.
Just like it is
on a bigger
in the
scale.
NFL on a bigger scale. Bottom line.
For sure. So let's try Reed Pretty. Let's see if we can get him in here. I wonder if we can dial. Without disconnecting ourselves. Probably not. We can add to conference Reed Pretty. We're going to try that. Tell us about something else that's going on in the world.
I love Sundays.
Because football's back.
My first day I had kind of half off in a while, excuse me. Football. I did watch football in the afternoon. It was phenomenal. I got back from the Dodgers, Joe Torre's last day. And had some club tryouts and clinics yesterday. So I did have a little bit of work in the morning. But I just love watching football. My Chargers won. I'm addicted to fantasy football now. I mean addicted.
Club season started already?
Yeah, it's already 13th tryouts yesterday, 13th and 14th.
There's something wrong with that, in my opinion.
There's no question about it. There's something wrong with it. The club season's way too long as well. It starts December 1st, basically. The little kids will start early November.
God,
it's the way it goes.
Nuts for me. It just ended. It just ended in July.
I haven't heard anything on the beach volleyball front. What I do hear is that actually, I shouldn't say I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything with substance. I know there's still groups looking into beach volleyball. I talked to Nicole Brand over the weekend. I mean, you just hear different things. I hear Nick Lewin's going to file for bankruptcy soon. And I don't know who really knows what's going on. But
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. We need to know soon, within the next month, or else there just cannot be a 2011 season. You have to have these things planned. I know Hans Stolfus. Have you seen the new website?
I haven't. HansStolfus.com or AVP?
No, it's PVB. No, PBV. Sorry, Hans, if you're listening. Pro Beach Volleyball Tour.com. I have it here.
Really?
Yeah, it's the new association.
Well, here comes...
Started by Jason Ring a couple years ago.
Here comes the fragmentation. Here comes the IRL and IndyCar series right now. This is what it's going to be. IRL and CART is what it destroyed the Indianapolis 500. There is no connection to Wi-Fi. I'm trying to get a hold of Reed Pretty without disconnecting us.
PBVAtour.com.
PBVAtour. Wow, that's a mouthful. PBVAtour.
And apparently all these players are in. Take a look at that website.
Yeah, check it out. This is good radio. Us surfing the internet.
Yeah.
We're just surfing the internet here, folks. Don't mind us. Thanks for tuning in to listen to Kevin and Geeter surf the net. You know, they have shows like that. I used to watch the show Giga overseas. It's like G4 is over here now, but it was 10 years ago where they had people just playing video games. That was the whole channel. Critiquing and playing video games. That's what you're watching. Somebody else play games on the TV.
Can you make money off of that?
Apparently, because they started a channel here, and a couple people jumped over onto that. onto that G4 train. Hey, you know, there was a letter earlier this week that came out, or earlier last week, I guess, before the Corona Wide Open Tour, from Karch to the players. Kind of a diatribe, I don't know, a diatribe or an explanation of his views, perhaps, or his wishes for beach volleyball. How would you characterize this letter? I know you said you saw it.
I think a couple of players reached out to Karch. I don't think I know. And there was some talk among the players that they just wanted to know kind of where Karch was through all this, with the AVP folding shop and closing its doors and some quotes that they maybe saw from Karch or heard that Karch said. I think some of them were hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, Karch had a response to that. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I don't know. But there was an article in the newspaper where Karch said, you know, I was upset at the time, and maybe it came across this way. The bottom line is it's not so much old school versus new school. It's about the AVP losing $47 million over a course of however many years. And
yeah.
it upsets me. And it, you know, as I got away from the game and saw the old game being played, I realized, you know, the culture of it, the beauty of it, the ability for the smaller player, the real beach volleyball player, to be able to be successful.
Yeah.
So, you know, Karch definitely does his homework and will make valid points, you know. But I still think the players, some of the players, you know, felt, man, here's our hero, here's our friend. Where is he in all this? That's why I'd like to have Karch on soon, just because, I mean.
And I tried
nice
to get him this week. I tried to get him this week, and I want to talk to him about the Corona Wide Open Tour, and I want to get back to where we were just were a second ago. But first, I want to bring into the program our first guest today. He's the president of Brand X Marketing, Billy Berger, who has been involved with the Corona Wide Open for a long time.
Billy can answer for us.
Yeah, well, Billy's going to answer some of the questions about the business side of things. That's what we're talking to Billy about here. Billy, thanks for joining us here on the Net Live. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thanks very much for coming on. I wanted to start out with, what is it that volleyball as a sport has to offer a company looking to establish its brand?
I think it's I would look at that question a little differently in the sense that Corona is already an established brand, one of our clients that has vested into the sport of beach volleyball. What is important to that brand is that they want to align themselves with the beach lifestyle and the authenticity of the beach lifestyle. The one thing Corona has done a good job of over the past 27, 8 years is that it has maintained its composure with regards to its advertising and its brand positioning. It has not wavered very far from its roots of why Corona has been a domestic beer phenomenon in a very, very, very competitive market. And beach volleyball fits that lifestyle.
Hi, Billy.
Geeter, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Your thoughts on the U.S. Open that happened, I believe, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago now. I wasn't able to be there, obviously, because I was working, but I want to know what your thoughts were on it and if it was a success for you guys and just kind of give us some feedback on
absolutely. I mean, again, going back to the strategy of twofold. Number one, you know, we want to get affiliated with something that is cool, that's authentic, and the second thing is we want to move product. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that the retailers and the end consumers are engaging. And we were fortunate enough to have great weather, and being in a location where beach volleyball has a lot of heritage, we were able to partner with a couple great retailer establishments, partnered with our friends at Oakley to put on a few parties one Saturday night, but not typically they have parties on Sunday night after these types of events, but our Sunday night party was actually bigger than our
sorry, Billy.
Than our Saturday night party with our friends at Neuro Drinks. We aligned ourselves also with another partner that Oakley and us Oakley brought to the table. And so, Geeter, from a brand perspective, it was a home run because it accomplished our agenda, and our agenda was associating with something that's authentic, cool, lifestyle, and moves product.
Well, you mentioned the lifestyle portion of that, and I wonder what sells more product or what helps that move more product, lifestyle or profession? Or does it have to be a mixture of both?
Well, I mean, you've got, you know, again, you've got, when you use the word profession, you're talking about professional sport.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah, if it looks like a professional event versus looking like an amateur event that's purely about lifestyle, but it actually has professional athletes participating, does that make a big difference to the advertiser?
Well, it depends on who the advertiser is. I mean, in our world, we break it up. You know, there's stick and ball sports, and there is lifestyle sports. And companies, you know, it's so competitive out there that companies have to sort of pick their niche and be true to that niche, because the end consumer, especially in the lifestyle side of business, is very finicky. And if they even smell a taste that you are sort of putting one on them, they're not going to gravitate to your product. You look at some of these apparel brands that are so successful out there, they have done a great job of staying true to their roots, whether it's with Kelly Slater or Brett Simpson or Rob Machado, and they've done a great job of staying true to that surf lifestyle. And, you know, it's now they're going on, what, 15 years of continued success? So for us, it's an opportunity to be part of a vehicle that is operated professionally, because it costs money for a brand to sponsor this stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to look like the U.S. Open of tennis, for no other reason than that's not the vibe, and that's not the personality that we are affiliating with in the first place.
So I guess that's the question. When you look at Corona, okay, Corona's bought into the Corona Wide Open Tour. What other brands are there out there that volleyball makes sense to pair?
Well, you know, fortunately for the Wide Open Tour, it was able to get Oakley, which it doesn't get any more lifestyle-oriented. They've done a good job of organizing their different departments to be relevant to a lot of different sports, but they definitely have a very strong and true lifestyle division, both with our friend Sean White wearing the goggles for the snowboard, to Bruce Irons, who isn't even on the ASP World Tour, who's still one of the most revered revered surfers and sells product athletes. So Oakley was fantastic. Green Planet Water that we had, I mean, those guys are all about the lifestyle, where they've got a bottle that's made out of 100% plant-based. But there are, you know, you just go down to the Action Sports Retailer Show and walk through the halls, and the brand after brand is relevant. The Nixon watches, Freestyle watches, Vestal, Hurley, Billabong, all of those brands have made tremendous footholds in the lifestyle marketing.
Okay, but you mentioned that action sports mold. Does volleyball fit action sports?
Does volleyball? It can. From our perspective, from Crown's perspective, from Corona Beer, the Wide Open is a cousin of the action sports. The personality and the way that it's operated, in the sense of its true, authentic grassroots beach lifestyle, is a cousin of the surf, skate, snow. And it's not much different than Chris Geeter knows when he hung out at State Beach with Matty O in probably the 80s, when you would go down to State, and if the surf was flat, guys were playing volleyball. If the surf was good, guys were out surfing and maybe not playing as much volleyball.
Can I rewind the clock, Billy? Go back to those days.
Would you like to?
There's lots of people who want to do that.
I want to see you breakdance again with Bob Barker. That's where it all started.
That is where it all started.
But, you know, so, you know, it's, you know, we as a company, you know, from Corona, we also are involved with the U.S. Open of Surfing. We're involved with the Hurley Pro through our Pacifico brand. We're involved with the Duke's Ocean Fest. These are all professionally run events, but they don't, you know, they don't, their personality, the characterization is lifestyle, laid back, a little irreverent, because that's the genre that the brand is taking on, because we've, in essence, said to the stick and ball brands, you know, we don't want to be, you know, right there with the baseball and the basketball and the football at the level they are, and you can't compete with them either. I mean, good luck trying to compete, you know, with Bud Light in some aspects.
I think it's interesting you talk about the blend between the action sports side and volleyball side. Interesting comment from one of our listeners on the chat board was that volleyball itself doesn't really seem to be an action sport per se, but the lifestyle and the chill attitude that you just touched on is what volleyball also has that's inherent in skateboarding, motocross, in snowboarding, and some of those other things. And you see that same type of athlete or same type of attitude off the court, but volleyball doesn't really seem to draw the same way some of those action sports have with X Games and some of their stuff going on over the last 10 years.
Well, they did. That's sort of where the rub is that go back to the era of and start from Von Hagen and Shamalis and Von Hagen and move upward, you know, through Bergman, through the St. John Randy Hobb Dodd type of event tournaments. I mean, I don't know if anybody really remembers when Hobb and Dodd were playing Steffes and Karai in Arizona. It was a double final. Hobb and Dodd were down 6-1 in a game to 7 and came back and won that game. And it was like watching, you know, the energy, the excitement, the gladiatorship was like watching Kelly Slater pull into a 15-foot barrel of Chopu. Or Travis Pastrana doing a double backflip. So there
was. Can that be recreated? I mean, yeah, it has been. It was. But that match you're talking about is 20 years old by this point.
Well, the answer is this. Here's the response to that. Is there was also a time. There was also a time when in the 80s surf had a drought.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not remember that period of time, but what happened was is that the industry thought, well, wait a minute, we've got the events in Hawaii and the wild world of sports is picking it up, and you got the Pipe Masters and you got these events in Australia and another in Peru, but we got to make this thing more perfect. We got to make more money. We got to do something. So they got brands involved and they said, let's change. Basically what they did is they modified the competitions. The competitions changed. And they were surfing at locations that were very inferior for excellence of surf for competitions. They basically were surfing on June in the Manhattan Beach Pier. And if you've ever seen the surf at the Manhattan Beach Pier in June, it's just okay.
Unfortunately, I have. It's mostly non-existent. But
okay.
I see where you're going with some of the things to make it more appealing. My thing with surf is surf drives product. It's driven an entire category of surf wear. Whether you live at the beach or you live in Illinois, you wear surf-type gear, like a Pacific Sunwear-type stuff. And that seems to me what's driven surf to a whole nother level is that it moves that product. And how does volleyball move that type or that amount of product?
Well, you've got to go into Geeter's closet, and you've got to go look at all of his side-out Mossimo and all of the stuff that he collected during the 80s, where there was an image on the ASR cover in, I think, 1984 at the Action Sports Retailer, which is a surf show, where on the cover of the magazine was a picture of Fro, Ludi's, Timmons, I'm just trying to remember here, and Smith and Stokeless possibly, and it said, the caption said, why these men will make you money. So yeah. So the answer to your question is that in the 80s and the early 90s, these guys were driving product. They were driving tens of millions of dollars of merchandise product because they were selling a lifestyle. They were selling a vibe that people wanted to be part of, and companies existed because of it, and the athletes were making tens of thousands, if not some of them making millions, off of exactly that opportunity. And that's the same reason the clients that we have vest into sports that they think create that same kind of personality that will drive product.
Billy, since the AVP closed its doors, we've heard a lot about there are people waiting to take over. Is it going to go bankrupt? What about Billy and Karch? They already have a tour. Is theirs going to be stronger? Are they going to take over? Is USAV going to get involved? Is Karch going to join up with USAV? Do you have any insight, real insight for us? Because I kind of, no matter who you talk to, you hear something different. What is the future of beach volleyball?
You know, for our perspective, and again, I can only speak on behalf of the clients that we represent here, is that, you know, we think that we've found a neat niche that accomplishes our business objectives. It gives us branding, it gives us visibility, and it moves product. And at the end of the day, that's all it's about. I mean, you can talk about the Wide Open or the U.S. Open or whatever events, and you can say that they're professionally operated, they're not professionally operated. The bottom line is, if an athlete makes money, it's a professional event, whatever event it is. Even the event that Matty O and I won together down at State Beach 20 years ago. But the point when Matty O wanted to win the little gold man. But the bottom line is that at the end of the year, what do your books look like? Because it's got to be a marketing vehicle. The X Games would not exist. The Do Tour would not exist if it wasn't sponsor-driven, and the sponsors are driving it because they're moving product, because they're inspiring a consumer and a customer and a participant. And it's the same strategy. So to answer your question is, you know, we like where we are with this program because it works. And do you try to blow it up? But do you try to blow it up and do what? Try to become a domestic pro tour? But then you run all those other risks. I mean, right now, from our perspective, is it's a neat little program that's working.
Billy Berger is the president of Brandex Marketing and a man responsible for bringing Corona Light and the Pacifico brand to the world of volleyball and trying to build the world of volleyball back on the beach side of the game. Billy, thanks very much for spending the time here with us on the Net Live. We appreciate it.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Billy. Later, brother.
All right, good stuff from Billy there. I think he's a guy who's in touch with some of these brands, and I hear a lot of what he's saying about what has happened in the past and about how great it was and about how it drove product, and whether it's Primitive Prints or Red Sand or Side Out Sport or whatever it was. The problem with that statement is it was. It isn't. If it was now, today, if it was current, autonomous.com, Aaron would be sponsoring this show. Aaron Wachfogel, owner of that, would be sponsoring this show, and we'd be sitting in a studio overlooking the ocean because he loved our show so much, and we talk about him so much.
Yeah.
it's just not – volleyball is not pushing product. Surf has pushed product. Yes, I remember when surf kind of fell off. I remember it got kind of big in the middle 80s, late 80s, and then it fell off early 90s. But then that whole surfing wave swept the United States. Where I was living here in the early 90s, and I discovered Pacific Sunwear and the kind of grunge flannel beachy thing that was going on then. All of a sudden, I went back to Illinois for vacation, and they have a brand new Pacific Sunwear.
And everyone's wearing it.
That's the new stuff, right? Quicksilver, Billabong, Rusty, all those surf brands all of a sudden made it there. Well, even those now are struggling a little bit because the apparel industry and the recession, everything is struggling. But they're still moving more product to the point where Hurley's now owned by Nike. So now you have the 800-pound gorilla involved in your sport because you built this big thing for 10 or 15 years where it really grew. Volleyball didn't do that. Volleyball was the cool flash in the pan. It was kind of fun. It was, you know, Thursday night, beach, you know, they're bouncing the beach ball across it and showing four women, four man, two women, two man. They're showing it all. But then it faded away for whatever reason. There's a lot of different blame to go around. A lot of different people have talked about who screwed what up to make that happen. But everything I hear about is so long ago that I don't know how you recreate 20 years ago. That's my concern. I'm not saying it won't happen, that it can't be, because if the right person or the right set of circumstances come along, it could be, I suppose, but you're going to have to find a way to drive an entire brand or an entire section of fashion, of lifestyle, whether it's beer or hard alcohol, I don't know, whatever lifestyle you have, you're going to have to find some way to drive that.
At the end of the day, will our best players play on a different court size in the United States than they will at the FIVB?
See, I don't think the rules matter one bit.
But here's the thing.
I don't think it matters. I mean, when you talk about action sports, I don't see how the rules, no matter what they are, make volleyball
an
action sport.
But here's the question I wanted to ask Billy, but we had to let him go, and maybe we can get Karch back.
It's not a question for Billy. That's the thing. It's a question for Karch.
It's a question for Karch is,
yeah,
will he have some tournaments? Because in tennis, you have a clay court, you have a grass court. And I've heard Karch say this.
I've
we
heard
can
him
have
talk about it, yeah,
a couple different tournaments, which I'd be okay with.
It'd be awesome to have a grass tournament. But you could set the courts.
Because I used to do that. But here's where I don't know if we disagree, Barney, but you have to have your best players playing, I think,
yes,
at the end of the day, to be able to really have a real professional beach volleyball tour.
You're going to have to get a way for Kerry to buy in. And you know what that is? It's dollars. Period. It's dollars. I don't think it's rules. I think Kerry's making a big stink about rules. I'd like to talk to her about this. But I don't think for most of the players, it's about the rules. What it's about is, can you get us to come to the tournament for a total prize purse of 15 grand? Or do we demand 150 grand to be there for a prize purse? And part of that is whatever the market will bear. The players are going to have to be realistic about what their marketplace really looks like, because the money they were getting paid over the last 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, when the AVP came back, we all know that was more than the AVP was bringing in because they were losing money. So it's an artificial number for those players of thinking, well, every tournament should have $100,000 in prize money. Well, it can't, because they weren't making money. And no one's going to just throw away money like that anymore. You've had several organizations try and do it, believing that the future held more and could pay that money back. They don't give you a 100 grand purse because they're just generous. They're giving you a 100 grand purse because they expect to generate 200 grand in income. That's how it works.
The thing is, Kerry gets a lot of grief because her quotes are in the paper. But there are a lot of top players, 99% of them, weren't playing in these tournaments. There was no Todd.
No.
There was no Phil. There was no Jake Gibb. There was no Matt Furbringer. No Misty. No Nicole. But Kerry, and Nicole and I had this conversation, she has at least expressed her opinion. And that's what we always want our stars to do, and ours did, and she's getting a lot of grief for it. For her, I don't think it's so much about the rules, and this is where I disagree with people, because I've talked to her. It's about where the sport is and where they want it to go. She wants there to be a future in this sport, and she wants it for the middle road player as well. And you can't just go play in any tournament for no money and changing rules. And I think that's where their stance is, and at least they have a stance.
I think you hit it right there. Kerry is vocal. She's saying something. She's at least standing up and putting an opinion out there. I like that about her. We've got 408. You've been waiting in the queue for a while. Welcome to Net Live. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Is that me?
That's you, 408. Is this Eric?
Hi, this is Jim McNamee from San Jose. I got one question on the beach volleyball thing.
Perfect.
Okay. Fans don't want to pay to watch beach volleyball. Is that a regional thing, Southern California? Does it extend to San Diego? Is it mainly back east? Where does that line end up?
Okay.
I fight with my friends all the time on this, because I think you should pay to watch the best in the world play. The only place we have a problem with it is Southern California. And it's a lifestyle, it's a culture that people are used to. They're used to just coming to the beach, setting up their chairs, and I get it. It was very cool when I rolled to the Manhattan Open and watched Rosie and Aaron win it, and I walked right down and put my beach chair with my wife, and we sat and watched. Very, very cool. But when we go to Chicago, and we go to Cincinnati, and we go to all these places, Belmar, people pay, they're happy to pay, and we sell out. I don't think the big deal is about paying here. $5, $10, yeah, maybe the price was a little high, $20, but you know, the problem I think people have with it too,
the expectation.
And there's, you know, the fences around, and it kind of takes away from that vibe a little bit. That is a problem, and that needs to be fixed.
Well, I disagree in that, you know, the internet's free, but you can pay for good stuff. TV's free, except cable's a little better. And you can't change people, so people's behavior, I'm with you there, but I just don't think beach volleyball is analytical enough to look at this problem and solve it in a business, you know, sense. You know, nobody likes fences in you know, there. Santa Cruz can't have a venue because you can't pay to get on the beach. But I think beach volleyball in general has to take this multitude of problems that they face, like Southern California don't want to pay to see volleyball. That's so naive. I only say that arrogantly because those are concepts that, you know, it's logical. Now, is it true? Let's see if I put together a venue where people will pay to come into it. They've been doing it for a while. They did it down in Santa Barbara. It seemed to go okay. It wasn't the attendance Hermosa gets, but I just think that those are the problems with beach volleyball, is they have these things that occur, and they take them for granted, so they move on to the next problem rather than actually defining the problem and then coming up with a solution to it.
Great, Jim. Thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you.
Well-educated, Jim. Right. I like that.
Yeah, that was good stuff. You do have a problem, and yep. I think I don't know if I said this on the show before. I'll say it again. I don't think beach volleyball is a business. It is not a business. Businesses have revenue from a lot of different sources. You look at sports in general, they have ticket sales, concession sales, they have memorabilia sales, gear, right? They have all these different things that they sell.
Then they're sponsors.
Then they have sponsor income, right? But the core business that they have is all these other things. They have income. Beach volleyball has none of that stuff. None of it. It is strictly a marketing vehicle. It has been a good marketing vehicle for Miller Lite, for Corona, for Nissan, for Crocs, whatever. It has been one of the things they've adopted as part of their marketing strategy. But any money that falls off to TV production, goofball announcers, people who want to be goofball announcers, the players, anyone else who's involved, the management, any of those people, all the money falling off is a cost of advertising. It is not part of a business. It is a cost of advertising that says Miller Lite says, all right, these guys are cheaper than buying time at the Super Bowl or buying time on U.S. Open of Tennis or buying time here or there. I don't think it's really a business. I think you either have to be an ad vehicle or not, and the problem with that is it's fickle, very fickle. You heard Billy Berger say that. When you're a lifestyle thing, you're kind of fickle. You can't sell out. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're chasing an amorphous goal of staying in the public eye.
Even Eminem turned pop. You know what I mean? It's like if you try to be too hardcore, then you never can really make it. And if you switch over, you lose your core audience.
Yeah, it's a strange place to be. But, you know, overcoming obstacles, you have to decide to overcome those obstacles. When you talk about a beach out here that everyone knows is free, that's the expectation. The beach is free for everybody. That's just what it is. Not everybody has beaches. So
is the Pro Bowling Tour a business?
I don't know enough about it. But I imagine they sell balls.
Guys are making money and they're on ESPN.
I imagine they sell gear. I really don't know. I don't know enough about that. And I don't know why that's
somebody
on.
Somebody from the Pro Bowling Tour calling.
Yeah, that's right. If you're listening to this show, give us a call. You're listening to Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We have another caller in the queue. I want to try him before we get to calling Reed Pretty here. We're calling Reed Pretty in just a moment. So make it quick. It's all French fries on the board, but if you're in our queue, let us know where you're calling.
Hey.
Yeah, Sullivan, I knew it.
I don't know that I want to get in if you're telling me to make it quick before I even get on the phone.
Make it quick, Sullivan. We got Reed Pretty to talk to. He still plays for the national team. He's not a washed-up has-been like you and me.
Sully, you had a big win versus Texas.
We did. We played Texas Saturday afternoon and came out with a big win. Puts us in a nice position in conference, and it's always good to beat Texas. So
they are, you know, I see read a lot of stuff about them on the chat boards, and it seems like they've had a little bit of problems over there in terms of injuries and stuff like that, but they still have some talent, right?
Yeah, you know, they've got some injuries. I don't know how much it really affects them. I think they're throwing that out there. You know, they had an outside that was coming in off the bench that did something to her ankle, and their libero, I don't know what she did. But, you know, they're a little younger. They lost a lot of offense last year. And, you know, they've got some issues. And we definitely took advantage of some of that. And, you know, I don't think we played as well as we can play. But like I said, we're happy to beat them and you know, clear a little space in first place in the conference.
Where are you seeing you guys right now? I think you're ranked third in the country, I believe. Do you feel like you got that kind of team that can make that run to the national semifinals and beyond?
You know, Geet, we do. I don't know that we've reached our potential. And so, you know, as a coach, it's kind of, you can look at it both ways. It's a little frustrating that we're not playing as well as we can play. But at the same time, it's exciting because we've got, you know, 2.5 months before we want to peak. And, you know, I think it just seems like we've got one or two hot hitters that get hot every night. And it's not the same kid. It's a different kid every night, which is great. But I just think if we can get, you know, four or five of our six hitters going, we're in the hunt for the title. Until we do that, I think we're, you know, a really good team, but we're not, I don't know that I would say we're a favorite by any means.
So I want to switch gears for a second, and some of the stuff that we've been talking about, tell us a bit about your experience on the four-man.
The four-man was an awesome deal. You know, it was a different model, obviously, than the AVP, where you kind of had to, you know, depending on whether you earned any money that weekend, was based on your finish. Yeah, in fact, in the AVP, you know, a lot of guys were losing money because they had to pay for their own travel and stuff. And so with the four-man, you knew that you were going to walk away with no travel expenses, and, you know, the bare minimum, you were making about $1,000 a weekend. And then depending on your finish, you know, obviously that went up. And so as far as being a model for beach volleyball, it was great for the players. I mean, everybody knew, you know, you were going to make a certain amount of money. Obviously, it was a lot lower than the top guys in the AVP.
Yeah.
But it was a lot more consistent in that. And so, you know, it was a great tour. It was a lot of fun to be on. There was great camaraderie between all the players, even though we were competing against each other. I mean, I'm sure it's fairly similar to the AVP. I never did too much on the AVP, but it was a blast to be a part of. And obviously it was a huge bummer when it went south.
All right, Sully, thanks for checking in with us.
Hey, no problems, you guys.
Hey, who do you got this weekend?
We travel to Missouri on Wednesday, and then we've got Texas A&M at home. So
you can pad that lead a little bit. You got about a 2-game lead, don't you?
We do, but you know the Big 12, just like the Pac-10 and the Big 10, you can't take a night off. You know, someone will sneak up and get you. So we're preparing for Missouri right now.
We're going to talk to your old friend Johnny Sprawl here in a couple seconds. All right?
Yeah, tell him I said hello.
All right, thanks, Sully. Thanks
for having me. We'll see you.
Later, you, Salt.
All right, I think we have on the line Reed Pretty. You heard a little bit of rain there. I'm glad Sully continued going. Reed's texting me from Italy going, get Sullivan off the line. I'm more important. I own this show.
Seriously. Hey, are we getting money? I mean, is Nebraska paying us for every time he gets on? Are we getting some ad dollars there?
We've got a proposal out to them to Big Red. Yeah, I want the hat. I want the sponsor costume in here.
We tried to get Big Red in Barney's house, but he didn't fit.
Look at the ceiling for him, man.
He's a 14-foot freak. I've seen Big Red at a game before. It's in scouting reports he's so odd-looking. It's crazy.
Watch out for Big Red.
Reed, I miss you.
Good to hear you guys. How you guys doing?
We said we miss you.
We're good. Hey.
Yeah, I miss you guys, too.
Tell us about what's going on over there, because I'm sick of watching these scores happen. I imagine you're sick of playing in these matches that you guys stink in.
Well, the good news is we actually we got a good win tonight. So, yeah, it's a weird tournament. I'm going to throw that out there right out of the gate. And, you know, all we really have control over is ourselves. And we've had an up-and-down tournament so far, but extremely grateful and thankful that we still have a chance to win this thing.
Wait a second. The only thing you have control over is yourself, but you guys have been wildly erratic. So you have to get in control of yourself even. Get control of something, please.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
A good win against France tonight. We mentioned earlier on the show, 3-0, 16-14, 23 over France, which France is a decent team. What was the difference tonight for you guys versus the other matches, the up and down against Cameroon or Mexico or
Czech
or the Czech Republic?
Well, we got a great start tonight. You know, Clay lit them up right out of the gate and got us some good momentum from the service line. We blocked a ton of balls, and they by no means gave it to us, but I thought that we played some really good block. I'm not so sure defense would be the right word, but, I mean, we just put up some really good blocks as a team. It was great to have Dave Lee back in the mix. And I think we smoothed some things out inside out, which was good. But you're right, they're a good team, and we needed to stay focused, and it was really good to catch that kind of USA brand of volleyball.
What's happened to Dave Lee? Has he been injured?
Yeah, he's been injured. I don't think I think it was a little bit of a hip ab issue, kind of similar to what I experienced right before the tournament started. But it looks like he's getting back to 100%.
Reed, Barney had mentioned to me earlier in the show that you were playing really well, so I had a two-part question. One, where do you think you are right now in terms of your health and what level you're playing at? And then my second question was, any of the new guys impress you so far?
The first part of your question, I'm feeling 100% now. You know, for about 3 weeks there, wasn't able to go and practice, and I've really built up a great cardio base, and was a little bit bummed out from that setback. But I feel really good now. You know, there's nothing that's limiting, which is great. But we have a lot of new talent. There's no doubt about that. And a lot of guys are getting a lot of good looks. Paul has done real well coming in. I don't know if you saw that match against Cameroon. I really kind of pulled myself out of the service reception there, and just focused on hitting. And he was able to come in and really pass under some pressure, which was great.
Yeah, Paul Lottman, talking about out of Long Beach State, who's one of the younger guys on the team, started playing with the team last season. Keep going.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, Rooney obviously is playing significant minutes. Matt Anderson has been doing well. Unfortunately, it was kind of my fault that I couldn't, that I wasn't passing as well last match, and it kind of didn't give himself a lot of time out there. So I was bummed about that. But, you know, we got Russ Holmes and Max in the middle. And I thought we did good tonight in terms of knowing that they're going to attack us in the middle. And we were good about jumping on that right away.
Looking forward, you guys now face Italy. You face Italy tomorrow. And then Italy and France will play one another on the following day. So conceivably, you guys could win tomorrow and know that you're headed for a potential medal, or at least a medal matchup in the next round. What are some of the challenges that you face in Italy, who is a team that historically has been great, has struggled over the last few years, but is, again, looking to recapture some of what they've had in the past?
We're going to watch video tonight. I haven't been able to see them play yet this tournament. But historically, you're right, they've got a lot of history with their team, a lot of experience. You know, they have Faye at the opposite, Vermiglio sitting, who is a good setter. And, you know, they've been streaky in reception. And so if we serve like we did the last two matches, I think that's going to give us a real good chance at success. It's going to be crazy. I mean, it's going to be in this Coliseum here. It's going to be packed out, 15,000 people. And, you know, kind of the argument's been that this tournament has kind of been geared towards them. And so we're going to be playing the late match tomorrow night, and we're really – really happy that we're in this position and looking forward to tomorrow's match.
Yeah, a lot of complaining going on from Brazil about the tournament being geared toward Italy, and then Brazil saying that someone else, I think it was Russia, dumped a match to Bulgaria to set up a different matchup, and Brazil somehow conveniently forgetting they dumped a match in 2004 to set up a matchup they liked during the Olympic Games. Forget the World Championships. It's been a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and comment on that briefly, because you're right. And they're complaining about a few things, and so it's hard to decipher between what they're complaining about. The first thing was that they had a setter, their second or their first setter, either had colitis or some other digestive issue that has rendered him unable to suit up, and they petitioned the FIVB, and apparently either the FIVB or the Italian Federation put severe pressure on allowing them to replace that setter with one of the other setter on the 19. Obviously, they took that personally. That coupled with apparently Serbia throwing a match as well as Russia throwing a match. Now, I can be sensitive to the setter replacement. You know, replace it. You know, I'm sure that if you let them replace a setter, sure, that's going to open up Pandora's box of people taking advantage of that, but there's no doubt that this guy is sick. And, you know, you want a team to be able to replace a set a position or that situation. However, when we're starting to talk about throwing games, you got to be kidding me. They threw a game to us in 2004,
right,
and it directly affected those two teams, Serbia and Russia. And if you remember, Serbia barely got a pool play in 2004 because their best player, Milinkovic, was deathly ill.
Right.
And yeah, and so I find it really, really ironic that the very team that has kind of led the way in throwing matches is kind of up in arms and being so dramatic about it happening when the very two teams that they've screwed in the past are kind of coming back at them.
Yeah, Brazil, basically like any other volleyball player, they're really good at playing volleyball and really good at complaining. I don't think they're good at much else. All right, well, Reed.
Yeah, it'll be.
You guys.
I was going to say it'll be an interesting matchup between them and Czech. I'm telling you, Czech is playing probably the best team volleyball that I've seen in this tournament so far. So that'll be an interesting matchup. I'll be able to watch that one.
Well, Reed, we wish you the best of luck. This is how Reed and I have to talk now with the delay that goes on back and forth. We literally at times have been on the phone. You say what you want to say. Yeah, Reed, that sounds great. Over. It's like being on a CB or something. Because the delay is like 6 or 7 seconds long, and you could be speaking, and the other person
awkward.
Stops mid-sentence. Yeah. It's insane. Reed, thanks very much for checking in with us. Sorry it took forever. You know, we've got a show going here. We've got a lot of different topics besides just you guys.
Besides you.
Team.
Right on.
And good luck.
I want to say hi to my wife and baby, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey, thanks, Reeder. Good luck tomorrow. We'll keep up on you. All
right,
Reed.
Right on. See you guys.
National outside hitter. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Right on the other side of the break, we're going to have
John Spraw,
head coach of the UC Irvine men, and they have an upcoming international tournament we want to hear about.
He's not too young to say the great John Spraw.
The great John Spraw? He's too young for that.
He is?
He's had good success, but he has to be old. He doesn't want to be characterized as that old.
We'll ask him.
Yeah. So you're listening to it live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. It's been a fun start here. We'll talk to you again shortly. Hit us up, 347-677-1525. Anytime during the show. John Spraw coming up next. Parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Excited about this next guest.
Minute Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Appreciate you tuning in. Hey, you're either tuning in live or you're getting this on a Thursday because you're getting it via iTunes. We've had good success there. Get over on iTunes. It's free. Search for the Net Live or thevolleyballnetwork.com.
This guy's so big time, Barney, that his assistant coach, Mark Presho, texted me and called me twice over the weekend. Hey, kid. Spraw needs to be on your show. Like, Spraw didn't even call me himself.
I don't really take that as they're big time. We're big time.
We're big time.
We're the big. They need us.
Good point. You know, Spraw's the only individual in volleyball history to win a national championship as a player, a head coach, and an assistant coach.
And an assistant coach?
And an assistant coach when he was at UCLA.
Okay. I know there's some other people on that list.
And he's a, I'm just saying.
Of not necessarily assistant coach, but head coach, player.
Sure.
And then there's some gold medal type people. Well, anyway, welcome to the program. UC Irvine, head coach.
I love you to put out Spraw's fire right there.
All around great guy. Well, I'm pumping back up. You know, it's all an up and down flow. All around great guy. Gentleman we've talked to here before. He worked with the national team leading up to 08. John Spraw, welcome to the Net Live once again.
You know, it's good that you put the fire out, Barney, because if you didn't, I was. So that's good.
Keeter's all about building people up. That's why he knows.
I know. I love it. Don't get me wrong.
I'm surprised you didn't tell a story about being out to dinner with you and the wife or something over the last just great friends.
We haven't
forever.
Done that yet. I haven't gotten the invite, so we'll see. Maybe next time.
I haven't either. Well, you just come to my loft once in a while.
Yeah, you guys are both on the list, all right? Just a page.
It's a long list.
Well, John, you have this tournament coming up this weekend with quite a few teams from different countries. You have club teams coming from Korea, from China, from Brazil, and Argentina, it looks like. Tell us a little bit of how this tournament came about.
We had the chance to go down and play in Argentina on our foreign tour a couple years ago, and it was such a great experience, and the level was so beyond what we were used to, and it was such a great thing for our guys to experience. And my assistant coach, David Niffen, and I started brainstorming on how we could replicate that every year, because you can only do that once every 4 years due to NCAA rules. So, but you can do it in the States if you can create it. The problem is it's pretty cost-intensive. The expectation is that when you host an international tournament that you cover all the on-the-ground costs for all the teams. So our donors have stepped up, sponsors have stepped up, and we gave it a shot last year, and it was fairly successful. So this is year two, and the teams are better, the tournament's going to be better, and I think our guys are in for another great experience.
Yeah, the cost was my question. You talk about the donors and the sponsors stepping up. Is it you that's driving those relationships and creating that alumni effect that we see around so many football programs, or is that your university getting behind you, or a combination?
It's a combination. Certainly when we first did this, it was something new, and it's our off season, you know? So the marketing department here and the athletic department is geared up towards soccer and women's volleyball. And so last year we basically Niffen did it on his own, and this year we've gotten a little bit more support because I think people recognize that, hey, this is potentially a good model. If we could make this work, it could work for some other sports here. So we've gotten more support from the athletic department, but really it's a lot about Dave Niffen. The guy's just been unbelievable in terms of how he's organized it. I think the teams are incredibly excited because they've already told me, hey, Brazil arrived last week, China arrived last week, and they are already thrilled at the organization. They think it's fantastic. So if they're happy, then that means David's doing a great job.
John, for you and Dave and Mark, what maybe a goal you see in the next 3 years? Like, where can this event go? Can there eventually be TV around it?
Absolutely. That is clearly a part of our long-range goal. And I don't know that it can you know a little bit more about the TV thing than I do, Geeter, but we've met with some TV people each year about this tournament, and people want the content. They have the shelf space for it. They just don't want to pay for production costs. So it's a little bit of the chicken or the egg. You can't get a big-time sponsor unless you're on TV, and you can't pay for TV unless you get a big-time sponsor. So we've got to figure that out. But I think that the foreign market has potential for us. This tournament, I think, is going to get stronger and stronger. Some teams have heard about it. There are teams that want to get in. And if that's the case, then maybe we can get some TV broadcasts into Brazil or into Argentina or into China or Korea. I mean, those are great volleyball markets. So we set up this tournament with about 4 months' notice. Last year it was about 6 weeks. And so this year we know that we're kind of going into a two-year cycle. We know we're going to make this happen again in year three, so I think we'll go into an 11-month cycle preparing for this. And if we can do that and pull in some big-time sponsors, then yeah, I think we can get it on TV next year.
Now, did you guys win the tournament last year?
No, we got smashed. I mean, this is good volleyball. I mean, this is something that our guys can watch and understand where they have to go with our game. I think that's why it's such a great event, not just for our guys, but I think for all the youth in Orange County and really Southern California that should be coming to this, because if you're playing football or basketball and you're in high school, you get to turn on college sports or the NBA or the NFL every weekend and kind of see where the game goes from there, and you can emulate that with your own game. And that obviously doesn't happen enough with volleyball. And now we get to bring that level here to the U.S. And for my guys, not only do they get to watch it, but they actually get to see a game plan and go out and try and execute against it. So I think that's an incredible learning experience for them.
You mentioned the level being so far beyond what the NCAA offers. Has this experience also opened your players' eyes to the world of volleyball that's out there for players that aren't necessarily national team caliber? There's a whole world of volleyball for those guys to go and play in leagues all over the world, even if you're not Reed Pretty or Clay Stanley.
Right, and certainly I think that's the case, Barney. And hopefully through this tournament we start making more and more connections and maybe helping place our guys in Europe or Asia after they're done. I mean, I think that's something we'd like to sell. And the thing that's been really interesting to me is watching this. I don't think the systems are that different. I remember after we won the championship in 09 or going into 09, I had a conversation on your broadcast with Reed, and Reed was asking me about the difference. And I said, hey, the difference between college and international game isn't nearly as big as maybe coming from high school into college. And I think Reed was a little offended by that. But later he talked to me and he said, hey, I watched that match, and you're right. I mean, the systems are really similar. We play pretty fast at Irvine. We run a good BIC. I mean, those kinds of things are pretty similar. The differences really are just the general velocity on the ball, particularly from the service line. And I think the overall ball control, you watch these guys play the game, and a hard-driven ball, they dig to the right place. It isn't just enough to get a hand on it. And when maybe a non-setter sets the ball, it isn't enough just to get a swing. It's a great swing. And so these little ball control aspects of the game, I think, really highlight some of the differences for our guys. And that's something that they can try and strive and achieve, and I think they can in their collegiate career.
John, a guy like Carson Clark, who has played for you the last 2 years, getting this experience playing in the World Championships with the national team, how valuable can that be to your team?
I think it's incredibly valuable. And I'll tell you a little story. So Carson, I hope he's listening. Carson's favorite day of the year is the six-man. It's better than Christmas and Thanksgiving combined. It's like his highlight in life, okay? So he was so distraught that the national team was going to have practice on the Saturday of the six-man. And he came to me later, and after this experience that he's had, he said, you know what, I'm sitting there in practice, and I'm thinking about this, and this guy's got two kids and a mortgage, and he's here, and he's working hard, and here I am. I want to go hang out on the beach. How selfish am I? I think there's a realization of what it means to be a professional when you're a part of that group. And I think that he's going to bring that seriousness of how you train and how you work hard and what is a work ethic in trying to achieve your goals. And I think if he brings that back, which I think he will to the team, then that'll benefit everybody.
How is Carson managing his school schedule? We know that school has already begun for UCI, and what kind of support did he have to get from the UCI organization?
We tried to give him everything we could. I mean, we got in touch with his professors, made sure it was okay. He got cleared by two of his three professors prior to even him committing to be on the final roster. So I think it's worked out with the third one, too. He was gone. We couldn't get in touch with him. But I mean, our counselors were very, very helpful here, and the professors were great. And I think in general, we've never had any problems here at Irvine with professors supporting our athletes. So it's working out great. He's going to have to come home and work hard. I mean, he's going to be behind, and it's 10-week quarters, so he's going to miss three. So he's going to have to really bust it once he comes back. But he's a good student, and he knows it. He's probably working on some of his assignments right now, I hope. If he's listening, get to work right now. And I think he'll be okay.
I think he's having a cappuccino late night. Anyway.
Yeah, he probably is.
He's sitting in a palazzo somewhere in Rome.
Yeah, hey. He's playing Xbox with David Lee. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, that's true. I could have started a Fortune 500 company when I was had all that free time. Instead, I got really good at Madden NFL.
Right, right.
Getting back to the tournament for this upcoming weekend, 9th and 10th, the second annual UCI International Volleyball Tournament. You have a lot of other auxiliary events surrounding this. I know you're cooperating with USYVL and
right. Some
grass stuff and some youth stuff happening. Tell us about some of the other stuff, almost Volley Fest-like, that's going on around this event.
Well, that's exactly right. Niffin and I debated calling this International Volleyball Festival as a result of that. There's a lot going on. Actually, there's a lot more matches during the week that we're holding in Crawford. So we actually start Tuesday night, and we play Argentina on Tuesday night. Then China, Argentina, Korea, and Brazil, they're all playing on Wednesday and Thursday. And then we're doing a doubleheader with the women. Actually, it's a doubleheader with the women on Tuesday. But on Friday, we do another doubleheader. The women play Loyola Marymount, and we play Korea to follow. So lots going on during the week. And then on the weekend, we are running USYVL grass clinic for the kids, and all the kids that come get in free to the event afterwards. So that's on Saturday afternoon, and sign-ups, the information for sign-ups is on our website, ucirvinesports.com, and you can log on to see a banner for the tournament. And then on Sunday, we are holding a grass tournament. I guess UC Irvine used to be famous for their grass tournaments. We have this huge grass field out next to Crawford, and, and we're going to run another big one. And the response we've gotten so far has been pretty big. And ASICS has come in and been a great sponsor. Bob McKnight over at Quicksilver has come in and donated a bunch of gifts for the kids that are winning each age division. And so, all those kids that come will get into the event that night too. And I think that's on Sunday. We play Brazil and Korea plays China, so that'll be another couple great matches.
Awesome. Now, we talked earlier about the television coverage of this and the possibilities of getting Globo in Brazil or maybe ESPN Deportes, something like that, to support
right.
the event and the income from that. Where would the income go if you were able to actually cover everything, cover the TV production, cover the expenses, and start to make a profit on this event? Would that go directly to your program, or is that the athletic department? Or have you even thought that far?
We have thought that far. I mean, it's all been discussed. Clearly, that's the long-range goal. I mean, we obviously want to provide our guys with a great experience. And we'd like to provide the youth and the kids in the area with a great experience. But obviously we're doing this also with the long-range goal of this being a profit center for us. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously if it's $100,000 or $200,000 or $50,000, it's going to go to our program. If we can blow it out in year 5 to 7 and all of a sudden we're making big money, then I'm sure the athletics department, you know how that's going to work, you know. Oh, this is great. I'm glad you put all this work in. Let's take a little bit for ourselves, too. You know, that's just going to happen. So you know what? If it does happen and we're providing that kind of a service for our athletic department, you know, we don't have a football program here. So I think these kinds of events, we have to be creative and think outside the box in order to make some money, and that's what this is an attempt to do.
Permit 11 and when you need us as a broadcast team.
Hey, hold on just a second. You broke up right there, and I'm on a landline. Sorry about that. I swear I'm on a landline. That wasn't me.
God, Johnny.
Right after we tried to build him up, too.
No, I didn't even catch that. I'm sorry.
We have committed to be your broadcast team in 2011.
Dude, let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh,
let's
really
make this happen. You could probably help us get some sponsors or something. We just got to get – it's expensive, man, Geeter. You talk to these guys, and they're like, we all want it. We all have the shelf space for it. Let's do it. Oh, by the way, we won't pay for a dime, and it's going to be $150,000 for the weekend.
Yep.
Crazy.
You just get the announcing bill from Geeter and I.
Yeah. That'll be $151,000.
Yeah, there's a Four Seasons Irvine, right?
Yeah
absolutely.
No way. I need a massage each day to get ready.
Hey, just make sure Presha wears a shirt all week, okay?
You know, maybe that's one way we get the girls in. We got to make sure he's muscled up.
God, he looks good for 40.
Oh, man.
John, this has to be for the university really an opportunity when you start talking about the international exposure, an opportunity for them to attract some international students and international, not just volleyball players, but fans of volleyball who then want to come to UCI and pay that out-of-state tuition. There has to be some sort of figuration there from the university when talking about that advertising that gets done.
There's lots of synergies here. The mayor has been very involved. Our mayor here is Korean, so he's been really involved with the Korean team. In fact, last year he was actually instrumental in even getting them to commit. And we have a very international city. We have a large Korean community, large Chinese community, large Latin community, obviously, in Santa Ana. So we hope they come out and support the Argentinians and the Brazilians. And we're bringing them all to UCI. They always say that the athletic departments are the windows to the university. And this is a great opportunity for us to maybe hit a demographic that doesn't usually come to campus. I mean, obviously, volleyball is a huge sport in Asia. If we could get a couple thousand Chinese and Korean fans from the Irvine area to come out for this event, maybe 500 of them become fans for us after their teams leave. And maybe that kicks us up into the 2,000 seat a night. We're over 1,000 people a night in the Brent Center. And so maybe that gets us up to 2,000 or you know. So I think there's lots of reasons why this is good. It brings in lots of community people. The chancellor's very involved. He's coming to a couple matches. There's lots of reasons why this could be a good thing for us.
Rest assured, the Brazilian fans will show up. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, that was a late addition, so it's great to have them here. And obviously, we hope they have a good experience so they can come back in future years.
All seriousness, though, you and Mark and Niff, you guys have been around your program a lot. You guys have done a phenomenal job. You're so good for the men's game, so you guys should be proud of what you're doing over there.
Thanks, Geeter. I appreciate it.
That's why we keep Geeter around to build you up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And Barney, you can just rip me right back down if you want anytime.
Hey, I give Austin credit for for Goose and I and our sports check team went in the national championship this summer. You know, we went and visited him two Decembers ago and got a lot of his system and the BIC and the swing block and the bunch of reads and all that kind of stuff. And we've put it into our club team.
He opened the chamber for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Sprong, we ended up winning. I don't know if you knew that. I'd like to drop
in. Gear, I actually did know that, and congratulations on that. I'd actually be curious to have a conversation with you some other time about how the BIC is working for you in the women's game.
Absolutely, would love to.
There you go. John Sprague is the head coach of UC Irvine, and this upcoming weekend they have the second annual UC Irvine Invitational Volleyball Tournament. It is a big festival. There's games going on all week, and over the weekend there's lots of youth events. Get your family out there. Go check it out. It's ucirvinesports.com. Give it a look. It's going to be fun. Teams from all over the world, and really give you a view into the more worldwide scope of the sport of volleyball. John Sprague, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Later, Johnny. Bye. But honestly, though, that staff over there of Mark Preschow and Dave Niffen and John Sprague, they make it fun for those guys.
Yeah.
And they do a phenomenal job. And that's the one thing about the men's game. There might not be a lot of teams, but you look at the coaching staffs and you look at that community they have, it's a great sport.
I think there's so much competition for those jobs that you have to be exceptional to hold one of those positions.
You're around the Pepperdine program.
Absolutely.
So you see how great it is. I mean, what John and Mark and Dave have been able to do at UC Irvine, I'm telling you, Barney.
Oh, they built it
you
know, nothing.
I mean, I was at Northridge from 90 to 94. Irvine, on your way down, you'd stop at Sizzler. And I would be excited because I knew I had a chance to play.
Yeah.
But he has built them, they have built them, into a power.
Yeah, they were not a power when I was there. I was recruited by Andy Reid, who was the head coach at the time, and I kind of looked around the roster and went, who do you have on this team? I mean, they had Chris Harger, who spent a little time on the national team, and they ended up getting, instead of me, they got John Hobbin to play opposite a guy out of UC Irvine, or Irvine Valley College.
Yep.
But it just wasn't really something that was going anywhere. I liked the school a lot, and it seemed like that school should draw. John got in there, and all of a sudden, I think it was three years or 4 years, he built a national championship quality team, and they've done it a couple of times.
And they
did a great
job. They were number one in the country early in his career. Then they went to the Final Four. Then they won a national championship. So they took those proper steps, and now they have two, and they have a team that has a chance to win it again.
Yeah, he's put into place a really good system. And, of course, he came from UCLA where they had built a system there. And I get the perception from John from talking to some of his players and guys around the world of volleyball that John has taken the system of UCLA – and some of the teaching aspects of a McGowan or a Dunphy. Because when I look at UCLA, I don't really see a lot of teaching going on. And I think that's evidenced by the lack of success of a lot of their players at the next level. Think about the success UCLA had over the middle 90s, early 2000s in volleyball, in collegiately. Then you think about how many players made it on to the national team. It's almost no one. Sullivan is one of the few examples of players who really came out of that system when they were winning national championships and being great every year. Almost nobody came out of that. But a company like or a place like Pepperdine or BYU was producing national team quality players routinely.
And all three of those guys on that staff were all great college players that were able to transfer over to great coaches. And that doesn't always happen. They have the respect of the kids, but they're also great teachers. I mean, Mark Preschow had been coaching ever since he was out of college.
Preschow was my assistant coach 1 year. That was an adventure.
His heyday back then.
Oh, he was a circus, man.
He was still playing.
Lingo.
Yeah,
he
was still playing.
Man.
Yeah.
He's dropping stuff about the kitty, feed the kitty, and all this other stuff. We're like, dude, Fresh, really? He wasn't really.
He's
a
one
coach.
Of my best friends. He's
he was
phenomenal.
Just kind of hanging out. It was hilarious. I hadn't seen Fresh in a long time.
Yeah,
he looked good.
He's turned into quite a coach.
All right, so we need to go on to the next phase of our program here, Geeter, because we have somebody else joining us. But first, I don't know if you've been here for this. We might have a little music. Eventually we're going to get more music. The Net Live, in combination with the AVCA, the American Volleyball Coaches Association, is proud to present each week the College Volleyball Weekly, an update as to what has happened throughout college volleyball in the prior week. There you go. So our correspondent today, we've had Dave Reed in the past. Today we're happy to welcome back Holly McPhee. Holly, are you there?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. We understand you've been hanging out with Geeter during the week.
Yeah, we did a game for ESPN last week, Hawaii at New Mexico State. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're off to Idaho tomorrow for Idaho versus Utah State, so we're doing some whack games. And Holly, USC finally goes down. They were 12-0. You and I talked about them on the national broadcast last Wednesday when they were 12-0, but young, huge, physical team. Washington coming off a loss beats them. Where are we in the Pac-10 right now?
Well, gosh, great question. I think, you know, the Pac-10 is always interesting. It's all about matchups. It's all about who plays well against who. Washington lost to Oregon last week but came back and beat USC in five. Becky Perry had a phenomenal match, and really Washington dominated in the fifth set. Stanford's rolling over everybody, you know, ranked or not. Alex Kleinman's leading the way. She gets the most sets. They're doing a great job up in Stanford. So Cal is the other unbeaten team in the Pac-10. They beat Oregon this week, number eight Cal. So, you know, teams rolling. Stanford and Cal are the last two undefeated teams in the Pac-10.
Yeah, it was a rough week for the Ducks and Beavers as they got crushed by Cal and Stanford. They just got annihilated throughout the week. That's not a good result if you're a fan of Oregon.
Well, it's interesting because I think Oregon had a little bit of an easier preseason, but they were impressive in a win over Washington because I think Washington's a solid team, but it didn't hold up against Stanford and Cal.
Holly, how good is Cal? They just kind of slowly moved up the ranks, and you look at their schedule. They, you know, they beat Arizona in five, swept Arizona State, and swept the Oregons. Where are they in your mind? Are they a legitimate top five team? Can they creep into that spot?
Top five in the country? I don't know. Tara Murray on the outside is super physical. She can dominate a match, but consistency has been her problem, and she leads them in kills right now. They have another freshman outside hitter who's done a solid job for them. They've got some experience in the middle and a senior setter. So I would say they're probably a top 10 in the country and will probably improve as the year goes on.
Holly, we've talked to Eric Sullivan here on the show quite a bit about Nebraska. They put a 3-1 over Texas. But what's your opinion on Texas? It seems like they just really don't have it this year. They expect it to be okay, but it seems like they're below that.
Well, Nebraska beat Texas, but Texas beat Iowa State in five, and I think Iowa State's a good team. I think it's just going to take a while for Texas to find its rhythm. They're rebuilding. They lost some talented players, and they've had some injuries. So it's tough when you're rebuilding and you're depending on players to come in and step into big roles and they get injured. Nebraska is a legitimate top team. They've got all the offensive weapons. They've just been struggling with passing. And once they get that down, if they're able to, you know, I think they're a legitimate top five team. And I don't know if Texas is there yet. But, you know, it's all about being ready when the NCAA tournament comes. And both Texas and Penn State both have time.
It seems like if Nebraska could pass the ball, they have the setting. They have Lauren Cook. They have Sydney Anderson, both who had good games this weekend. It seems like that passing is the issue, then I guess you only have one area to focus on.
Well, yeah. You know, passing and also defense, defending the ball and putting it in a spot where you can transition it and use all your weapons. Those are things that, in my opinion, Iowa State does really well. Every time they dig a ball, they're able to run a quick transition back at their opponents, and that's what makes Iowa State a contender.
Holly, what about Florida? You and I talked a little bit about it on ESPNU last week. They've beaten seven ranked teams. That is pretty impressive. And they went to Nebraska, got a win against them early on in the year. They seem to be a team that really has a good shot at going to that national semifinal.
I agree. Florida looks great. Freshman Chanel Brown, the other setter besides Kelly Murphy, was the freshman of the week in the Southeastern Conference. She's doing a great job, and she's got some good people to set. I mean, they're just a solid team. Everybody's contributing. But, again, I think Kelly Murphy's their leader. I just think she is unstoppable when she's on fire.
Holly, looking at Penn State, I know they had a good matchup this weekend against Michigan. Expected a better game out of that. It was 3-0 pretty handily. Penn State very much up and down. What is it you see about their game that they need to improve?
Well, you have new players on the court. You know, anytime you have new players stepping up into those kind of roles, it's passing, it's consistency, it's leadership. They had it from the players that they lost to graduation. And I think they're just going to find their roles as the season goes on. But, yes, they did take care of Michigan pretty easily. And then you see number seven, Illinois. They've been doing very well, but they went 5 with Northwestern. Northwestern's 25th in the country, but they were able to pull it out. But going 5 with a team like that was a little bit of a surprise because they've been playing so well lately.
Yeah, Illinois doing their best men's national team impression, going 5 with teams they shouldn't. Holly, what's
exactly
on your radar for this upcoming week, or what other issues are you really aware of in the NCAA?
Well, you know, I just think as the first round of each league goes through, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially in the Pac-10, because that's what I cover. Stanford and Washington this weekend and Cal at Washington, I think that's going to be a very interesting weekend in terms of the Pac-10. That's the match that I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Excellent. Well, Holly, thanks so much for joining us here on the College Volleyball Weekly. We once again appreciate all your good information and insight into the game.
Thank you.
Holly, I'll see you tomorrow in Moscow, Idaho.
Yes, looking forward to it. Live on ESPNU Wednesday night.
Do I have to pick you up from the airport?
Yes, you do.
Holly drove the rental car the first time.
You drive the rental car?
I'm trying to go to the DMV today to get it's a whole license thing that I can't really.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Peter, take care of business.
Yeah. Holly, don't let him behind the wheel. He's a danger to himself and you.
Oh, my gosh. He's luggage when traveling, by the way.
What are you talking
about? Really? Let's hear more about that. Let me finish off the College Volleyball Week. Let's hear about how Geeter's luggage. Did you call me Louis?
I know.
You just called me Louis Vuitton?
No, I would definitely not call you a Louis Vuitton.
Oh,
but, you know, he's supposed to pick up the rental car. He's supposed to pick me up. He's lost his license. He has nothing valid. Then he leaves his luggage on the plane, you know.
All right.
I just have to take care of him.
I can't wait for her to get off the line so I can speak. I love you.
But he's good. He's good. He's passionate about the sport. He's a great play-by-play announcer, and I love working with him.
If only you can get him to the arena with his suit on. That's the question.
Exactly.
I left my suit hanging in Southwest Plain, and I had to run back and get it.
Oh,
When I had my birthday on September 10th, my license expired. We had moved twice, did not get the new one sent to me. Went to go rent the car. You can't do this, sir. Your license is expired. Holly,
you need to take care of that today, by the way.
Yeah, she's not happy with me.
Holly, thanks very much for joining us, making the time for
thanks.
The next one. All right.
Talk to you next week. Have a
all
great
right.
one.
Good. Bye.
Bye.
She does take care of me, though. Like, I mean, she's got snacks ready all the time. She's just so on everything. The boarding passes are printed out. It's tough to, like.
Like a juice box and some fruit snacks?
Yeah, she's unbelievable. She just does it, you know? It's like I just kind of get used to her taking care of
me. I want to know why Sunderland doesn't bring me a juice box and
it's amazing. Sunderland doesn't do anything for you.
Sunderland gets bothered because I check a suitcase.
Holly
is so angry
at
that
partner you could ever have because you're not going to be late anywhere. Everyone loves her, respects her, so she's got the street cred, and she just knows where everything is. and like I'm literally walking out of LAX, she's like, "Where is your suit?" This is when we return.
Oh,
I had to run back to Southwest, get my suit. You know.
Did I tell you about this? I went to World League. I show up at World League in Wichita, Kansas. See the guys in the bar, going to come down, have a drink, right? Go upstairs. Figure I'll hang my suit before I go downstairs. Open my suitcase.
Yeah.
No suit.
By the way, isn't that like a nightmare? For broadcasters, for those of you that have never done it, it's like,
forget how you're afraid to be late.
You know how you have that dream in college where you miss your exam?
Right.
As a broadcaster, you forget your tie or your suit is somewhere else, and it is a miserable feeling.
A moment of sheer panic fills me,
and
then I think, okay, Men's Warehouse in the iPhone right now. There's got to be one. Sure enough, there was. Made it okay. Tried to hide it from my boss. Wasn't able to hide it from the boss. He caught me, and I had to tell him the full story. Gave me the fist pound, dude. That's awesome. Because I hadn't said anything. I just went and fixed that problem. That was, oh, my God. Such a terrible feeling. I've forgotten my shoes for a match before, too. Twice, I think. Once in college, once in the national team. That's a bad feeling. You open your bag to come to a match, you're wearing flip-flops, and there's no shoes in there. Okay. How do I explain this one to the coach? I've forgotten the one item that I need. I've gone to war without my sword.
Yeah. Coach, never mind what I look like.
This is my rifle. Without my rifle, I am useless.
Yeah.
Without me, my
you
rifle
have a full
is
metal
useless.
Jacket on me right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, we have a couple other callers here in the line. 408, we talked to him earlier. 408, you're back on the air here at the Net Live.
It's Ace.
Ace from San Francisco. Ace, what's going on? Did you send me an email and I missed it again this morning?
No, I did not.
Just calling in live. Give us the jet ride here live, Ace. Give us some info or insight into something in the world of volleyball that we don't know.
I actually have a few updates about American players.
Good. Hit it.
So Jen Joins, Kristen Richards, Peggy Bahani Park, Nicole Davis, Ashley Engel, Nancy Metcalf are heading to Azerbaijan to play for the 2010-2011 club season.
All of them to Azerbaijan?
Yes.
Holy cow, what kind of black money is flowing through there?
I have no idea. But on the other hand, I have a few updates about the guys.
Yes.
Max Holt will be heading to Brazil.
Good.
Jonathan Winder will be heading to Greece. And also Evan Patek will be heading to Poland.
And he's going to Poland early because he's not on the national team. So he's got
I think I heard, according to a source, he was there, I think, over the week. Last week, and then he just came back, I guess, this weekend or something. And finally, Scott Tuzinski will be heading to Germany. He will be playing in the German league for the upcoming season.
In the Bundesliga, along with his wife Angel and their new baby. That's
yeah,
very
congratulations, good. By the way, to Scott. Yeah.
Hey, Ace, what do you think about all the furor with Brazil complaining about the tournament, complaining about people throwing matches?
Did you guys read all the drama on Bollywood?
I've seen a lot of drama on Bollywood. I've seen a lot of painting on pictures. Nothing that will get you banned from FIVB as you have been from USAV. But what are your thoughts on what's going on with it? Does Brazil have a beef, or are they just calling the kettle black at this point?
I think Brazil has – I think they have – they're pretty much trying to protest on what is going on pretty much against the FIVB and the Italian Federation because – they pretty much messed up right from the get-go with all these, you know, with the formula that they're using now. It's just messed up. So I'm with Brazil on this one. I actually didn't know about the drama that they did in 2004 until I actually read it from one of my sources, what they did when they played against the USA. But I'm with Brazil on this one. Whatever they're doing now, yeah, I'm with them on this one. So.
Oh, interesting, interesting. See, I'm not on Brazil's side. I think Brazil's just mad that they don't have an advantage. If they had an advantage, then it wouldn't be an issue. So.
What are your thoughts? Have you guys talked about it?
Just briefly touched on it with Reed. But
I listened to Reed, yeah. Did you watch the match against France or no?
No, I have not seen that. I've been getting ready for the show here with Peter McGee.
Oh, okay. Hi, McGee.
How are you?
I thought it for a sec. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
All right. Ace, thanks for calling in, dude. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right.
See you next week. Bye.
Ace from Bollywood, owner of the Jet Ride we've had here on the show before. Hey, people on the chat board, you better take it easy. You're going to ban some people from the chat board right about now.
It's
not cool.
There?
Not cool at all with our program. That's not right. Thank you, Evan Kissinger.
Believe me, we don't need you for the ratings. We're already at an all-time high.
That's
tomorrow,
right. That's right. We've got another caller, 615 Nashville, hitting it. Nashville, or Nash Vegas.
What's up, boys?
Well, that's what I thought. You better have a question or a comment, not just hanging on the air. We've got a high-flying show here.
Yeah, I was just calling to tell you the Eagles suck.
I mean,
come on.
You can't say that about my son. How unkind is that?
I'm not talking about your son. I'm talking about the big boys. I'm talking about the varsity team here.
Yeah, the varsity team did stink it up yesterday. They were
Peter, I mean, you're giving it to them, aren't you, please?
As soon as Vic went out, you knew. The funny thing about the Eagle fans, it's like, now they want to. First, they want to trade Cobb like 2 weeks into Vic,
right.
Resurgence, and now you know you're a snap
quarters.
Away from your third string quarterback.
2 quarters into Vic's performance, there. Get rid of Cobb.
I was surprised Eagle fans actually showed some class and gave a standing ovation to Donovan.
I was also surprised, and I was impressed. That's good for him. He's the best quarterback in the history of that organization. No offense to Ron Jaworski. He's the best.
Jaws.
And there's no reason for booing. I understand booing him in the first series when the Redskins get on the floor. Okay, now he's
working
he's playing
for the
team.
Redskins, absolutely.
But that's your boy right there.
I was impressed.
He took him to Super Bowl. He's taken him to 5 NFC Championship games. That's some great stuff.
What I think is funny is that we are all so impressed because they did something right. They actually did what they were supposed to do.
That's right.
It's good to have you back. I knew you were back because I didn't get like a frantic email last night around midnight, so I kind of knew that I lost my spot. But, you know, listen, you're the man, and I have no problem saying that, and glad that I could just keep the seat warm.
All right, you want to throw out a go Titans before you hang up there?
They sucked too yesterday. So
all right.
My teams lost. Titans, Steelers, they all lost.
Did you guys lose? Did Lipscomb University Women's Volleyball lose?
No, we won 2-3-0.
3-0. Very nice. You guys are
hey, go on to LipscombSports.com to listen to Alex Kelly's post-game interview and upcoming matchup for next week against ETSU. It sounds straight out of Kevin Barnett's school of interviewing. It's classic.
Hey,
intern
she
Alex.
Works best, you know?
She straight dropped the next school's gym that we play in is disgusting. So as if people don't hate us enough, now they hate us even more.
Hey, there's not enough of that going on. There's not enough trash talk going on between it, because then it would be relevant. If you had Nebraska talking trash, there's too much polite, oh, they're a pretty good team, I think they're okay. I think it ought to be more like, hey, you know what, they stink, and if we don't beat them 3-0, it's embarrassing for us.
Well, intern Alex brings it back.
I like it. All right, thanks, Brandon.
Keep it up.
Brandon,
later.
I'll talk to you on next Sunday when Geeter bails out.
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm there.
He did a good job, by the way.
He did a good job. He brought some good info. We had some good interviews with some coaches who you don't necessarily hear from.
Yeah.
Matt Peck, Middle Tennessee State University, good program, quality program. Been there a lot. We had him on the show last week. I thought that was all good stuff. So, Geeter, you're getting beat up all over the place here today. Holly, all
yeah.
your luggage.
She took it yeah. to me.
I'm glad Brandon gave you a little bit of build up.
A little bit.
Yeah, brought you back.
Sproul kind of wanted to give it to me a little bit.
Well, you were trying to build him way up. It was like a love fest. You know, we had the love fest last week. Brandon had, I guess, Matt Peck come on and just be like, oh, Brandon, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Did you plan that? No, no, I don't know what happened.
I mean, truth be told, there's a part of me that hates Sproul because of what the Bruins did to me in 93, but I must drop props because what he's done at UCI, he deserves it.
At some point, you got to let it go. I hated UCLA for a long time, too.
I know.
Didn't want to room with Sullivan just because he had UCLA Bruins. You know,
Sullivan and I were on the same club team. I hated him.
Hey, you know, one thing Billy Berger mentioned was Oakley, talking about style. I didn't know this. I read this about Oakley this past week. They're originally a motocross company.
Oh, they're big-time motocross.
Well, they are, but they were. Their very first product was a grip. They weren't a glasses company.
Oh, I got
it. They were a grip company.
How much
BMX,
do you love them more now?
BMX grips and motocross grips. That was their big seller. When they started the company, that's what launched everything. Then they got into eyewear, and their very first eyewear product they came in with was motocross goggles.
Three things that are guaranteed every show. I'm going to somehow talk about winning a national championship.
Yep.
Somehow the six-man gets in every show.
Right.
Or something
right.
about it. And you're going to drop motocross.
Even though it's not even on right now, and
it
I can't
matter.
Even ride. I'm going to work it into the conversation.
And when it's the fall, the Eagles are getting in there.
Yeah. And the spring, because now the Eagles are flag football spring and fall.
Thank God.
Well, it's been a good show. Hey, we've talked to Billy Berger a lot about the lifestyle stuff. I don't know if we have any more thoughts on that. You look like you do.
No, what I was going to say is you always say it's a good show. This one really was. We've got Reed in there. We got Berger. We got John Sproul. We got Holly. Even Esau checked in. I thought we got. I think we covered the entire rainbow of volleyball.
You didn't mention Brandon Rosenthal, and I'll be hearing about that, that he wasn't part of the great show that we've had.
Yeah, but, you know, Brandon's just kind of part of the show, isn't he?
He's, you know,
it's
he's
not like
been
he has
one of the
to call
earliest
in
callers.
To be a guest. Yeah, it's not like he's a guest. He's, you know, Dan's gone. Brandon's better
Somebody
looking
has,
than him and a better athlete than Dan.
And doesn't just continue talking. I mean, Dan,
what
get him online. We got Dan on the line last week or week before.
Yeah.
And he just wouldn't stop. I tried to redirect him. He kept on going into the minutia of, like, Manhattan Beach culture of volleyball. I'm like, dude, we're talking about big issues here, not who played big court on Thursday night at the pier.
We need – of course, when the beach season comes rolling around again or that topic becomes hot, Dan will show up.
Absolutely. Until then, he's just designing stuff in Lindsey Breeden's office.
How about when he gave us the cut Sullivan off call that was the greatest thing ever?
For him?
Yeah, for him? We're going to go to him?
I don't know about that. What do you got coming up this week, Geeter?
I leave for
Moscow.
Idaho tomorrow. Wednesday I have live Idaho versus Utah State, ESPNU. Come back Thursday. Friday I have high school football, Long Beach Poly versus Lakewood.
Very nice. I've been throwing a little football play-by-play down at the flag football event at Mira Costa.
And how has that gone?
It's good when I have information on both teams. But now you get the parents complaining that the announcer doesn't have enough information on their team.
Oh, God.
Except when I go down to talk to the team, I'm like, yeah, I just want to get a little information, running backs, this, that. The guys look at me like I'm from Mars. Like, hey, I'm just trying to make it fun for the kids, fun for the parents. Give me some info.
So you've been doing that.
Yeah. I've been doing a little research before because I have to bring Reese an hour early.
Yeah.
Because when I'm not coaching,
so you're hopping
I bring
on
my
the
older
PA.
Son. Yeah, I get on the PA, do a little down to the 20, the 15, the 10, touchdown, Bengals.
That is
get the whole thing
awesome,
going.
By the way.
My best Keith Jackson invitation.
Do they know that you
the five, the fan.
Are an Olympic broadcaster?
My team does. The other teams don't. And
you
I don't walk around with a shirt
yet.
That says I'm an Olympic broadcaster.
No, you should. You should make one. Someone out there make one.
But I've been laying down some stuff there, thinking of you. You know, thinking about I need to make this happen.
I love football.
I got to do it. Football is a great place to be.
Ah,
it's a fun sport to do.
I have to do preschool pictures with my wife and my daughter for the school next week on a Saturday. And
family pictures for the preschool?
Yeah, they're doing this fundraiser thing.
Okay.
And we're trying to schedule times. Well, Saturday's the day that you look at the football schedule and you say, we cannot do it there. We cannot do it there.
That's what TiVo's for.
Yeah. So there's a small little window.
I have to avoid texts. Yeah. Yesterday I was an hour and a half behind on the Eagle game, and I saw that a friend of mine had texted me. And I just kind of glanced over a little bit. I could see Eagle sort of.
Yeah.
So I took it to my wife and I said, is this about what I haven't seen yet? She said, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I watched an hour and a half of the game, started catching up, and I looked at my text. Said, this is not the start the Eagles wanted. Yeah.
Working Angels last Sunday on one TV, you have the Angels, and I have Gooby and Victor Rojas, the play-by-play guys, in my ear because I do have to kind of know what's going on. One TV, I got the Chargers. The other TV, I think it was Giants Oilers, and I got my computer with all my fantasy football
from
two leagues
staff.
And I have these little notes about the Angels just in case I have to interview someone on a walk-off. So, I mean, should have seen me in that press room.
That's awesome. You're multi-talented. That's why we have you here on the Net Live. Are we going to have you next week? You here Monday? Or what? Yeah, there we go.
I'll figure it out.
I'll call Rosenthal
right
now.
I'm for sure going to be there. I fly to LSU.
I'll call Rosenthal.
On Tuesday, I fly to Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge?
Tuesday.
Get yourself a hurricane.
And this is, I'm a little nervy about this trip. I will tell you about that next Monday.
And don't send me any emails. When I said hurricane, I meant the drink, not a hurricane.
Okay,
don't
gotcha.
Send me any emails a la the Katrina comment.
Well, I had to text you yesterday and say, is there a show?
I had texted you earlier in the week and said there was a show. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah, you did.
I've got to hear my iPhone.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. Not getting any documents or anything. Reed's, who knows where
he
is.
No, there were no documents.
Reed's had a little thing called the World Championships, this little tiny tournament he's doing. And
so the World Championships is going on. I'll be doing that on Saturday,
yep.
Sunday. It's going to be on Universal Sports. You can check it out. Hopefully the men are in the semifinals and finals, but it will at least have an update on them. They also are going to play Italy tomorrow. It has been on the Internet. We've actually been able to find it. You can follow it a little bit. It's been fromsport.com, fromsport.com. Pretty good stream. No audio or no announcers, no talking heads like you and I, but there's been some good audio.
Hi, honey. I'm on the radio. Can we call you back? Okay. Call
okay.
Back.
Yeah.
That's the first time ever. I just always
the George DVDs have run out. Get home now.
I just wanted to do that one time on the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, watch some volleyball this week. Great stuff on ESPNU. Great stuff with the World Championships.
Any way you can promo the Net Live on your broadcast?
No,
I know.
They
me
frown
either.
On that.
I know.
I
me
asked
too.
The question.
Yeah, I've asked.
No, they frown.
Don't
on
you
that.
Want us to be so big time where we can?
I want ESPN to purchase this show. We need to be broadcast on ESPN. They got Mike and Mike Radio. This should be Geeter and Barnett volleyball. No, wait, that's it? Barnett and Geeter volleyball.
We could talk other sports, too, if we had to.
Well, see, the volleyball audience gets annoyed. We start talking other sports. But, hey, people, it all relates. Okay, we may touch other sports. You're not living in just a volleyball world. It all relates back to what happens on the volleyball court. So get out there, check it out. Check us out on iTunes, too. It's a place to be. It's free. And send us an email, thenetlive@gmail.com, anytime. We'd love to hear from you. It's been The Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Another great show. For Geeter, I'm Barney. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Be
Bye.
Good people.